Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Hey, podcast listeners, this is Rod Peterson. Be sure to join Dupes and me in Houston, Texas, this December from the 5th to the 10th. I guarantee you we'll be checking in on the Texans and the Broncos on NFL Sunday, plus two live shows with all our football buddies, including George Cortez and Don Narcisse. If you've always wanted to see a college football game and it's on your bucket list, why not join us in Houston for a college football playoff game? We're waiting on the Houston Rockets NBA schedule, but if they're home, one of the hottest teams in the NBA will be part of the trip. Check us out now at rodpeterson.com/trip, and thanks to Uniglobe for putting it on.
If it has a score, we cover it more. From football to lacrosse, hockey to baseball, we've got what you want. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show on a Friday, August the 2nd. I'm your host, Rod Peterson. We are coming to you from the bunker from a sunny and hot the Canadian prairies. Welcome to hour one of the program today of episode 45. Darren DuPont is here, but he's not on the show. I'm hoping, Dupes, you don't know it yet, you can come back for the overtime segment, because I know you got a lot to say. But we're opening the warm-up today. This is going to be an awesome show because I have very few notes written down. In the bunker, put the camera on these two legends, if you don't mind. John Frenzy, how are you, John?
I am great. I'm very happy today, folks.
Yeah, of course you are. And polar opposite is Dave Patrician, the sports doctor from Winnipeg. David, how are you?
Rod, I couldn't be better after walking Buffalo Days with you yesterday after the game.
Oh, did we see some sights last night?
It was like the bar from Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
And you were grinding me. I came in not wearing this shirt, but it almost like a defense thing, because after yesterday, when people throwing mini donuts at me and all that stuff, when I was wandering around with my
T-shirt.
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely. You get free donuts. But then, you know, there was a few Buffalo Days aptly named for some of the people that we saw there.
Ooh. He's right, though. He's right.
It was good. It was a really good time, but it was a great vibe in there, too, with April Wine playing in the background. So
yeah, well, so much to get to today. Obviously, a doubleheader in the Canadian Football League. Thursday night football. It was a great night for football, obviously. Dave's Winnipeg Blue Bombers raced out to a big lead over the Argos in Toronto. Something happened at halftime. It sounds like Corey Chamberlain gave a Newt Rockne, Vince Lombardi-style speech, because they came out and just dominated the Bombers in the second half. Argos went on to win 28-27. And then at Mosaic Stadium in Regina, Dave and I sat together, and it was so much fun, by the way. I felt it was. I know you felt it was, too. Riders with a comeback last-minute win over the Hamilton Tiger Cats 24-19. That'll be the basis of the show today, and I'm just going to kind of turn these two loose on each other. It's going to be a great football discussion. CTV's Don Hewitt will be with us live in the bunker and among our guests on video chat today. A couple rider greats. Linebackers Reggie Hunt will join us from Dallas, Texas, and I believe it's Connecticut where Maurice Lloyd is hanging his hat now these days. So, without further ado, bravo, by the way, to Evraz Place in Queen City X for all of us that went in with our game ticket. We got in free to Buffalo Days after the game with a game ticket. And Dave, what were we estimating how many would have been there? 10, 12, 15,000?
I thought 15,000 probably came over to Buffalo Days. It was packed.
Yeah, so on an average, if we all spent $20 a head, that's 300,000 cash in their jeans. Just from food alone.
And we didn't see a lot of them, because a lot of them probably went to April Wine, because that was playing. Like when we walked into the plaza there, you could hear April Wine clear as day.
So
I bet you a lot of people went over
there. Kids, right? Kids. One of my daughter's very best friends thought April Wine was a female singer.
Oh,
like April. Let's go see April. Yeah. Yes, exactly. No. Kids these days, but we didn't venture into the party in the park, if you will. We wandered the midway, and I saw something that I can't unsee, as did you.
We did.
We had the belly button count, right? If anybody's been paying attention, we're asking for the belly button count on the midway at Buffalo Day. Those whose bottom of their shirt doesn't match the top of their shorts, sweatpants, whatever.
And that's mostly the males we saw, too, though.
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
This one last night.
Oh, boy.
She had a rider jersey on and just undergarments, like granny panties, And how would I know that? Because when she bent over, the jersey came up, and she shouldn't have been doing that.
Yeah, you can't unsee that.
No, you can't. No.
Sounds like fun.
It was wrong. I actually did take a picture of it.
It was like a train wreck, right? Like you
couldn't turn away.
You can't turn away.
I showed Jordan, our young switcher in here, director. He goes, "Ooh, that's unfortunate." And he wandered the midway himself. But he said the people that he saw with their belly buttons sticking out, he didn't have a problem with, if you know what I mean. Eye candy.
Well, there's some of that.
There was some of that, too.
But majority, no.
For the vast majority, they need friends to tell them, don't do that. Or at least wear shorts.
Yeah, is there a mirror?
Over your underwear.
A mirror shortage in town or something?
Friend shortage.
Yeah, it really is. But there was a great vibe there, though. Like you can't take that away for everybody having a good time, because I've been to a lot of these kind of fairs, and I remember years and years ago when Winnipeg had it on the old Winnipeg Stadium grounds and the Red River Exhibition, and you would go at 10, 11 o'clock like we did, and it was rough. And there were a lot. Like, I mean, yesterday it had that smell of donut grease, BO, and pot.
Which you're going to get.
Yeah, and that's usually the staff, right? There. But the interesting thing was all the staff at Buffalo Days all had Saskatchewan Rough Rider shirts on.
Smart.
Too. Yeah.
Oh, and I want to say, hang on, I want to say just one last thing. Getting into football, I saw several reports that Zach Evans, Ryder's defensive tackle, was taken to the hospital after the game. Well, if he was, it was a quick visit, because I saw him walk in the midway. We waved to each other. So Zach Evans appears to be fine. So I know probably the majority of our fans watching and listening are Ryder fans. But first, I was with you, Dave, when they announced the score out of BMO Field last night.
You'd have thought the Ryder scored a touchdown.
Right. If there was a roof, it would have went off the place, because Winnipeg lost in Toronto. We got a lot of Winnipeg viewers this morning, as we always do. Can you speak on behalf of the, what do you guys call yourselves, the Bomber Nation, the Bomber Faithful, I think is what they...
I think so. It was disappointing. They raced off to that early lead, and on the strength of a beautiful touchdown by Andrew Harris, and he was tearing up the field. And, after halftime, like you said, it was the Newt Rockne speech, or win one for the Gipper or something. And it was just and John and I were talking about that before we were on the air. It was like a coaching shift in Toronto, and Winnipeg got out-coached, out-played, similar to what Hamilton did in the third quarter at the Rough Rider game, how Hamilton came out flying. So something happened. Winnipeg didn't make the necessary corrections. The team looked like most of the game in Hamilton. And they got to find some solutions, because that wasn't good. That wasn't a great performance. And to let a team that doesn't have a win beat the leaders of the West, that doesn't bode well for the Blue Bombers.
I heard that was really a must game. No doubt about it. You were heard about it before, a thousand times. But that was really a must game. Pop went in and talked to him at halftime, as well as the coach giving a speech. And it was laid on the player. This is a must game. You can't afford to lose this game, meaning for job security. Because they came out and they played like possessed. And you wonder why a team doesn't play like that for all 60 minutes, don't you?
Exactly, because they're professionals. You get paid to do a job. You're going to get paid more if you win. You're going to get paid more if you do well, with better contracts and more chances to earn more money.
Common sense.
Yeah, so it's not like a guy's don't try. When someone says, well, it doesn't look like he was trying, I do think the guys always go out there and give 100%. But there's another level you have to reach as a professional athlete. So this was just unbelievable to Toronto. How many were there? 14,000?
Not even. I actually deleted the game sheet. I should have checked, but I can look it up.
TSN can't get any tighter shots. Like for the next game at BMO Field, they're going to show the punter's eyes when he's punting, because you can't get any more close-ups. They show the same people over in the stands and try to avoid that. Yeah. They superimpose the logos on the field. If you've ever noticed that, they're not there during soccer, like the A and the pizza.
Are fake.
It's just like, it's a television trick. Why aren't they doing that with fans then?
That's a great idea.
I guess because they do that, or tarp off some sections with green screen or something and just put some cheering fans or something.
So just hang on. This is an interactive program, of course. So we invite your comments on the Prairie Mobile text line, 306-840-8777. We saw all the Prairie Mobile staff on the midway last night. They were lined up with mini donuts. Thank you. Welcome from Winnipeg, Kim, and thanks for your sponsorship of the program. So if you're listening only, again, 306-840-8777. 780-489-8777. Your comments on Thursday Night Football. On the Facebook string, Conan from Calgary this morning writes in, and he says, we're worrying about belly buttons count when you're giving us this ongoing exposure of John's legs.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, what
That's quite a zipper on your knee, Lynch.
Yeah, it is.
And you go one up to your chest, too.
Yeah, right. Can I show this?
No! You're worse than the midweight girl I saw last night. Keep your shirt on, Lynch. You're the bionic man. You're the legend. Anyways, we got to be nice to the Bomber fans in here. Emery has written in, and one of our cameramen. He says that W on his shirt should be an L.
You had to read that one. It's for her. It's for Wolf. It's for her last name.
It's a guy.
Oh. No, I don't think so.
I can't.
A guy wouldn't write a comment like that.
We will, of course, we're very big in Winnipeg. Also, as you know, very big in Norway, too. So good evening to our Norwegian viewers tonight. This will be a theme throughout the program of what happened on Thursday Night Football. But I know people tuned in this morning to talk about the Riders, the 24-19 win over the Hamilton Tiger Cats. I was with the team for 20 years. I know how hard it is to win a football game. I don't care who's in, who's out. A football game's a football game. They're pros for a reason. They scrapped and they clawed and they won in the final minute. Cody Fajardo, I'm sure, got the game ball. He scored the game-winning touchdown. He is a hero. He tweeted a photo of himself eating a corn dog on the midway last night. It's had over 1,000 likes. And by the way, David, my wife says that I over-exaggerate. She always says I over-exaggerate.
Oh, you never do.
But that was the best corn dog you ever had.
It was the greatest corn dog I've ever had in my life last night.
I know you're disappointed because I had the foot-long jalapeno one.
The last one.
Yeah. Well, they could have thawed some other ones.
She says, if you want to wait 3 minutes, I can make you one. No, I need one. I need a corn dog now. And I was glad with the one that I got. I like Rob Vanstone's thing. What do you say? The Riders enjoying the corn dog days of summer. And now they're saying the Fajar dogs, they should call them Fajar dogs for the if they were smart. For the rest of the weekend, the midway people to sell corn dogs. I love corn dogs. They're so outstanding. Where was I? I got off my train of thought here.
We're going to talk about the game.
My favorite side was fresh corn dogs.
What are the other ones? What's the option?
And another side said premium ingredients.
Yes.
But nobody cares, you guys.
I know. We care. If you'd have been with us, you'd have cared, Lynch.
It was good.
Now, it doesn't matter that Brandon Banks didn't play, or Jeremiah Masoli, or Adrian Tracy, or Mike Sirocco, or what's his name, Sean Thomas Erlington. Now, there was a very undermanned Hamilton team that the Riders barely beat, but it doesn't matter. They did beat them. It's cause, Lynch, for celebration.
It certainly is. There were many who thought the only teams who could beat were the Argos and the BC Lions. It's not true. We've now beat a significant team, the Hamilton Ticats. Rated number one for most of the year, really injury depleted right now, but we still beat them. We came back and beat them with two great drives engineered by our quarterback, Cody, and I'm all ready to say he's almost going to be my choice for our sixth best quarterback since 1950.
And you don't even remember the top five?
Well, I certainly do. Glenn Dobbs, Frank Tipuka, Ron Lancaster, Kent Austin, and Darian Durant.
Five, and then, wow, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Dave, your thoughts on the game last night. I asked if you were interested because your team wasn't playing, and you said you really enjoyed it.
I did. You watch when you don't really have any, say, skin in the game type of a thing, or you're not emotionally invested in either teams, you just want to watch football. And I was really impressed with the Hamilton quarterback at the beginning because, you know, the inexperience that he has in the Canadian Football League, he really, in especially in the third quarter, really came alive and really started to lead that team. There was a lot, I mean, it was our favorite referee. It didn't really appear to affect the outcome of the game at all. In fact, the refereeing didn't really, I mean, everybody boos. I love the thing about at Mosaic Stadium is when every play, Rough Rider fans think there should be a penalty. Every play. It's funny. That guy was holding. There was no holding. And then and there was that one pass interference on Hamilton where if he wouldn't have had the left arm go around him, I think it wouldn't have been because they seemed to get there simultaneously. But was the left arm was that. It was a great vibe. I love that stadium for the vibe in there. And John and I were talking. There was, 30,000 plus there. I would say 29.5 have a green Rough Rider jersey on. And the other 495... because I didn't have green on. The other 495 have a white Rough Riders jersey on or something that's very... It is just so impressive. Like, we watch hockey and you watch Philadelphia and everybody in the Philadelphia Flyers orange. But everybody seemed to have got the memo in Regina, and they wear the green Rough Rider jersey. Winnipeg, you've seen so many designs and so many changes through the years, that and so many different shades of blue, that it doesn't come across as impressive, even if everybody was wearing a jersey, because there have been so many different ones. But that green is a constant in Regina, and it's very impressive. It's impressive, the energy. It's impressive when Saskatchewan's on defense, whether it be first down, second down, or third down and short, the fans are up there and they're booing and the cowbells are going, and it's a loud atmosphere.
We usually only do this for special occasions, but since David brought up the cowbell, I thought I'd wake the guys up on the couch over there that are on their phones.
It was impressive. It was as much as, you know, I don't want to see the Saskatchewan Rough Riders win because of, you know,
for obvious reasons,
for the rivalry. It was impressive, and it was impressive that last drive that Fajardo put together.
They lead the league in attendance. They're going to lead the league in attendance. Isn't that something?
Yep.
By 4,000 or 5,000 more on the average, which is quite incredible. Your Bomber fans, what's happened? They've dropped off there. I mean, they used to be pretty good in my days. They were 30,000 usually at the game, and then it dropped off to 28, 27. Now it's 25, 24. And this is a good team.
Yeah.
Favored to win the Grey Cup this year.
I know.
Is that not hit with people?
Yeah, and we've talked about this at length. I think that, you know, even before we went on the air, I don't think the Canadian Football League as a whole have connected with the young fans. I think fans young fans are playing Madden NFL games. They're not connecting with the Canadian Football League. Yeah. Rod and I were talking before about how the players used to go out into the shopping malls, the car dealerships, the schools, everything like that. You used to connect with people. Now you don't see that. You see that on occasion. There's the good ones. There's a lot of guys that lived in the communities. That doesn't seem to be much of a factor anymore. And I really, you know, truly believe that when the league lifted the blackout rule with the current deal with TSN, I mean, you saw that kind of fiddling around with HD coming in. You don't have to go to the game. It's not must be. The CFL, and I think the Riders do a great job, and especially with Buffalo Days in the background, and Winnipeg's trying really hard, and Toronto, believe it or not, tries really hard to create an atmosphere prior to the game and in the game, in the stands, that you don't want to miss. You want to feel like part of something. And you know, Edmonton's trying to reconnect. In fact, I read on the game on August the 9th, they're bringing in WWE superstar Roman Reigns, because he used to play, and I think he was practice roster with the Eskimos years ago.
They're doing a great job up there.
But they're trying hard. They got the kids coming in for free. They got the $22 tickets.
Had Shannon Sharp earlier this year.
Yeah. You need to get an atmosphere that you want to be part of. Like, I can't believe I missed that. You need to create something. And that's what the Canadian Football League hasn't done in a long time.
Very sleepy, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And I mean, I think there's a bit of an attempt in British Columbia to do that. Calgary's a kind of a different duck.
No kidding.
We could talk about this all day, and maybe we will, but for now we have to break. This has been the warm-up. We jumped right into the deep end today with CFL Chat with the Sports Doctor and John Frenzy. By the way, it is episode number 45 of the program today. Obviously, the number that immediately jumped out for sports figures who've worn number 45 is Mike McCullough, the future Rider Hall of Famer from St. FX University. Two Grey Cup championships here with the green and white. Other number 45s, Pedro Martinez. And maybe if you get me going later, I'll tell you a story about when I was checking into a Boston hotel at 2 a.m. and Pedro was coming out with a couple of friends.
You were escorted by from friends.
Right. That's quite a story.
That's the story.
Yeah. Kyle Petty, wore number 45. And as somebody wrote in here,
Glenn Dobbs.
Carlo Koliakovo. Easy for me to say.
And Glenn Dobbs.
And as Lynch says, he's not the greatest Rider quarterback ever. He's the second greatest Rider quarterback ever. No?
Behind Lancaster.
Lancaster.
When I give those numbers here, I'm going as I came here.
Yeah.
Not in rating of who's the best.
Yeah. Gotcha. Conan Daly chiming in from Calgary. Number 45, Bob Gibson. So throughout the program, we'll take your number 45s in honor of the 45th episode of the Rod Peterson Show. We'll take a pause. This has been the warm-up. Thanks for being with us this morning. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com. Catch the podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
Employee pricing is back.
Yeah, it's my favorite time of the year.
You pay what I pay.
We get amazing discounts when we buy a car.
And this month, you can too.
Car, truck, SUV, doesn't matter.
You pay what we pay.
Get savings up to 19 grand on new Ford F-150s. They're starting as low as $30,299 plus tax, and no one has more of them than Cap Ford.
It's like you work here, but you don't have to.
You pay what we pay!
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Lay back and kicking it. Let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Hey, Lynch loves it. The live cartoon of Ring Road this morning.
My wife wants to go for a ride in your Olympics.
She does?
Yeah.
My wife won't even ride in my Jeep. Your wife wants to? Good. Somebody will ride in it. She gets dust in her contacts and it blows her hair all over. Friday morning sports update. Every team in the CFL is finally in the win column. McLeod Bethel Thompson completed his third touchdown pass with 10 seconds to go as the Argos beat the visiting Winnipeg Blue Bombers 28-27 at BMO Field. It was the Argos' first win of the season. They are 1-0 with Zach Caleros, as somebody pointed out here. George this morning did. Cody Fajardo ran in the winning touchdown with under a minute to play as the Rough Riders beat the visiting Hamilton Tiger Cats 24-19 last night. The Riders scored 11 points in the last 3:16 of the fourth quarter to come from behind for the win. Trent Thornton did his job, and so did the Blue Jays offense. Toronto reinstated Thornton from the 10-day injured list for elbow inflammation, and he allowed just one run over six innings in the Jays' 11-2 win over the Orioles in Baltimore. Vladdy Jr. hit two of Toronto's five home runs to help Thornton. And that is the Friday morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. The sports doctor, you were there last night. What'd you think before the game?
Pretty impressive. Very impressive. Great food. There was a real family atmosphere before the game with kids playing games and things like that. Somebody was having a birthday party, and then the Rough Rider fans rolled in, and it became game time. And free shuttle. There's a shuttle ride to the game and everything.
Yep.
And some great staff and real friendly, great atmosphere in there.
Yes, so that's the funny thing. You met Kelly. Everybody thinks Kelly's the bouncer. He's actually the brains behind the outfit, right?
Yep.
And, of course, they're all smart. Ricky Regina, Wire, great partners of ours, Ballers Rec Room. So the Riders win last night. The Bombers lose. It's our good fortune to have the sports doctor here today to offer an assessment on Winnipeg's football team. Lynch is here for his on the Riders, and he thinks they're Grey Cup bound. Right, Lynch?
Yep.
Yeah.
Got to figure out the route, eh? Proper.
The parade. Wait, how can we have two parades, Dave?
And you're going to be the leader of both?
It can't be on the same day because I got to be in both parades. Only one team can win the Grey Cup, and it might not even be Saskatchewan nor Winnipeg, but now both planning parades. Today's Daily Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll is, who is better after week 8 in the CFL? The Saskatchewan Rough Riders are the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Probably won't shock you that 80.7% of our viewers and listeners are voting for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, that they're the better team than the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And let's just examine that for a second. Let's say
I'm voting
on August long weekend, Monday, they go out and they play in Moosomin. I've been on that field. Dexter Mondor does a great job with his coaches there. Somewhere halfway in between is the point, Dave. Who wins? I still think Winnipeg would win. I still think Winnipeg's a better team. The poll respondents are saying it's the Riders, but you know what I'm saying.
I understand. There were some holes in Saskatchewan's game yesterday. Again, playing a weakened Hamilton Ticats team. That being said, when they did dominate, there was a few drives that Saskatchewan looked great. The defense looked fierce. But yeah, there's just a couple pieces away, and it's not. I don't mean to sound negative because everybody will construe this as being negative, but it's a you watch with a change in coaching staff, change at quarterback, change with a lot of players. You know, you got Arsenault in there. I'm not sure if Roosevelt has risen up to his potential that we saw in the preseason. I thought, but there's a lot of things, but it's a work in progress, and you can't take away the win streak going on right now.
Now, how about the Bombers? Oh. The fans in Winnipeg, do they really believe what we think out here across the West and across Canada, that they're the early favorites to win the Grey Cup? Do people in Winnipeg think that?
Well, they did.
It's funny you say that because there's the bunch of the people that are the plan the parade people like I am. Like, I mean, I am glass
and half. And Obicon.
Yeah, I'm glass half full all the time. Like, I mean, this is good. You know, we're going to win. We're going to win next Thursday night against Calgary at home. I'm optimistic like that. But then there's the people that always want to dwell on 29-year drought. They're looking for holes in the game. Like, if you call-in shows in Winnipeg today are calling for Matt Nichols to be gone.
But do those fans have season tickets?
Well, that's the funny thing because there's not a lot of booing in the stands. The fans, you know, before we went to break, you talked about the place used to be always full. I think in the new CFL, you get 25, 26, 27,000 people in July and August. You're going to do well. After Labor Day, that's the true test when the playoffs start to really, you know, tighten up, the races start to tighten up. And then you get into late October when the crowds drop off again because it gets just too darn cold. But I think that there is a lot of people in Winnipeg that want to poke holes in this team. And I think it's that mob mentality that we never win, we're not going to win. And,
Well, it hasn't happened since 1990, so I mean.
Right. Well, you know, and it's fact-based. But, you know, in those times, people forget how many times they've been to the Grey Cup.
But you lost, and they don't.
I understand. But, I mean, it's just like there's teams in the National Football League that have never won a Super Bowl.
That's right.
Teams in the National Hockey League that have never won a Stanley Cup.
Or been in the final. Yeah.
So, yeah, they'll go down to, they say it's a 9-team league and all that different things like that. But there has been some problems. There's been a lot of problems, but you have to support your team.
Yeah, but not a lot are. Now, you were saying you were listening to Winnipeg radio this morning.
Yep.
You're seeing what the Bomber fans are saying. They're calling for Matt Nichols. Quite frankly, they're saying all the things that we've said for the last couple of years, that he's unproven. Mm-hmm. They got to keep going out and proving themselves. And who was it? Doug Brown, their ageless color commentator, saying they've lost to backup quarterbacks in back-to-back weeks, Dane Evans and McLeod Bethel-Thompson. And you guys have had a full deck, Dave.
Right.
Like the panic, if it is panic, or at least the downright snarliness, because there's some angry Winnipeg people writing in on Facebook here this morning, is warranted. It's inexcusable, I think, to lose those last two games.
Absolutely. Adam Big Hill's back in the lineup. They had Chris Matthews back in the lineup. You have very limited injuries right now. The team should be stronger. There's something missing. There's something, you know, the team, you know, nothing taken away anything from Adam Big Hill because he's going to be a big part of the Labor Day celebrations. I hear it on Regina Radio here.
Yeah.
He's going to be at some parties and stuff, and you're going to have a chance to meet him. But there's something that just didn't click.
Would that be a wake-up call? No, I mean, it's the old story.
It has to be. Well, I thought Hamilton would have been a wake-up call when you lose to, again, when Mazzoli goes down and you lose to the backup quarterback in Hamilton. And you stayed there, you're focused, there's no distractions. The team stayed in Southern Ontario. There should have been no reason for this team not to gel, not to mesh. And we got beat by a backup quarterback.
By the way, we are awaiting a visit from Reggie Hunt, the Reaper. Riders Hall of Fame linebacker will be joining us from Dallas this morning. But as I was watching the game last night in section 142 with the sports doctor, and somebody, you were sitting right beside me, you heard what everybody was asking me. Hey, Rod, what's it like to be in the stands now instead of the radio booth? I'm like, it's awesome. I'm here with 33,000 of my friends. I think you were surprised that how much I was calling fans out by name. I feel like I know everybody.
Like the one guy sliding down the railing with two drinks in his head.
I said, hey, Rory. Just,
yeah, and exactly. You knew his name because you wanted to video him. I didn't want any photographic evidence.
Guy was sliding down the rail with two cocktails in his hand, and I'm fumbling to get my phone, and then he like the whole crowd's like, and I'm like, he was fine.
Yeah.
And I pull my phone out, and I'm like, hey, Rory, do it again. And I waved with my phone. He's like,
not Rory Allen.
No. Not the Elvis impersonator. And he came over, and he's like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that on camera.
It reminded me of the old stadium, Taylor Field, when you had the wooden backs on the benches, and the guys used to, like, walk the tightrope from seats 1 to 22 on the back, right?
Yeah.
And the same thing with two beers in their hand and a bag of peanuts under their arm and a flag under the other arm, and you're watching, this guy's going to fall. He didn't fall.
He was right on the bed, and he was fine. Now, my point is, though, something that we were talking about is Cody Fajardo was continuing his heroics. And everybody's saying he might have woken up injured today with a sore ankle, swollen ankle, who knows what. Whatever. They don't play until next. Is it Friday? I think they're in Montreal.
Yep.
He's got time to heal. That Cody Fajardo's a gamer, and he's going to be fine. But what I said to you, Dave, is that they... Oh, Reggie's here. I'll just finish this thought. They can... You know, start contract extension talks with Cody Fajardo now, I would suggest. And this takes a little bit of the heat off the Chris Streveler free agency talk with Saskatchewan hosting the Grey Cup here in 2020. We'll pause that. Think about that. We'll come back to it. But we are going out on the video chat this morning to sunny and hot Texas. There he is, the Reaper. He is repping his school, TCU, Reggie Hunt, number 9. Good morning, Reggie. How you doing?
What's up, Roddy Rod? Hey. Miss you, man.
Riders won. Everybody's happy around here this morning. They just played last night. You know the feeling. Do you remember it?
Like it was yesterday. They must be having a great time out there. I know how we like to win out there in Riderville. So.
Well, you know what? It's been far too long since you've been here. I would suggest it's probably your Plaza of Honor induction. Is it not? Am I wrong in that?
You're a little bit wrong. I was there for West. I was there for West Cate induction about a couple of years ago, so a little bit past that time, but definitely due to be back up there at some point. So you're kind of right too,
Reggie. Yeah, it's always been too long, and you always have a home here, as I tell all our greats. But before we get into some of the football talk and the memories, can you update us and our viewers this morning and listeners on what's new in the life of Reggie Hunt?
It's a little bit new. I'm still in education, teaching kids and, you know, mentoring kids on a daily basis. I run an organization, Denison Killer Bees, where we run a football club, a football basketball club, a track club, and all the above for future athletes of Denison. So my brother and I, we run that organization. So between education, between that, that's keeping us busy, pretty busy.
How much are you keeping track of the Riders or even watching CFL games? What's their availability down there in Denison, Texas?
A lot more availability than it used to be. I'm a little jealous of that, to be honest with you, because they get a lot of TV time down here, and I'm pretty proud to show them off. So I get a chance to watch every once in a while. I don't watch all the games, but I do keep up quite a bit. I know some of the players kind of keep up in that regard, that I can name some players. And I know some of the guys. Some of the guys that are still working in the organization I'm still kind of keeping contact with. So I'm still pretty familiar.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I know you played with Kenton Keith here. Kenton's in Austin, Texas now, doing coaching and training. He said the exact same thing. He goes, he wished these games were on when he was playing. So that's good that they're getting the exposure down there. What's that?
Yes. I said, oh, my goodness, yes, for sure. I know they must love that, because we begged and pleaded for years of coverage on TV down here when we played up there. So it's a great thing for sure.
Reggie Hunt with us this morning from Denison, Texas. I got a lot of things flooding through my mind here. One is, we've been on the Jeremy O'Day train since the day he was hired in January as the next general manager of this club. Reaper, he has not made a misstep. This team's won 4 of its last 5 games, far exceeded the expectations of the club. When you were playing with Jeremy, maybe knocking heads with him from time to time in practice, did you ever think that he would go on one day to be the general manager of a CFL team?
I never thought about it, but when it happened, I definitely wasn't surprised at it. He's kind of been one of those kind of guys that kind of followed the Riders for a while, and kind of know his stuff and usually on top of things and very, very organized. So it doesn't surprise me, to say the least. You know, I got a lot of respect for Jeremy. He's kind of been a stand-up guy. Always had respect for him. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me not one bit that he's not only in the office, but he's doing a great job as well.
You know, you mentioned the coaching you're doing now. Do you have any aspirations on getting into the pro game, or are you happy doing with what you're doing? Because we all know, anybody that works in football, how big it is what you're doing now. But do you have any interest in coming up here to the CFL to do it?
I thought about it, especially a few years ago when I guest coached for Calgary. And I got my friend out there at BC, coaching out there at BC. So I talked to him about it as well. So it's kind of been on my mind. Never really pulled the trigger or thought it all the way through, but it has kind of hit the surface a little bit. And who knows? I still stay in coaching. I'm still heavily involved in football. Did some recruiting for Saskatchewan last year. So who knows? I'm definitely open to it.
Well, that's good. I'm glad that we got that out there, at least, so teams could reach out to you and then maybe you could decide whether you wanted to do it or not. Now, Reggie, here's another one. You talked about it when you went into the plaza, but for our younger viewers, let's update them. We had a linebacker here named George White. He ended up going to the Packers, and everybody's worried. How are we going to replace George White at will linebacker? We're going to be terrible. Well, from the day you showed up, which I assume Roy Shivers found you, I don't even remember how it happened. Nobody was talking about George White. And all of a sudden, you're in the Hall of Fame and you're a Grey Cup champion. What do you remember about your beginnings with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders?
When I first got there, obviously everything was a big change to me. And I do remember hearing the name George White quite a bit. And then he moved on to pursue an NFL career. Then I heard he got cut and was headed back. And, that actually put the pressure on me to step my game up even more. I didn't get frayed. I didn't shy from competition or anything like that. I was pretty much just buckled up my chin strap and said, let's get it. And I think George White, and all due respect to him, when he came back, he pushed me pretty hard. Great athlete. Always found a way to get to the ball. And that wasn't something that was easy. Fortunately for myself, I was playing pretty well in the position when he got back. And Richie Hall approached me and said, hey, this is your job, man.
Reggie, do you remember that big hit on Jason Claremont?
Do I remember the big hit on Jason Claremont?
Which one?
I do remember. I remember before and after. I don't remember during the time. Yeah,
that was a playoff game, I'm thinking there.
Yeah, that was a brick wall. Jason Claremont and I joke about it quite a bit that might have taken a couple of years off our career, but
it was. Well, you know what? That's actually a great question, because if you're watching these CFL games, they're not a lot different than the NFL. Just the way the game has changed. You were known as a feared hitter. How would you have survived in today's game? And you know how they're teaching kids now to tackle with their head behind the target as opposed to head on like you did. How's the game changed from your days?
It's definitely different, definitely better, though. I think with guys getting bigger, stronger, faster, it's definitely necessary in the game to keep that head out of it as much as possible. Having said that, I don't think that I've delivered too many blows with my head or whatever. I believe that with the Claremont call, that might have been called for targeting nowadays. Fortunately for me, it wasn't back then, but nowadays, I think that would be called for targeting. So I have to have a different approach then. And to be honest with you, on that particular play, I think I was going for the ball before I turned it into a hit. So, but on that play, I think that would have been called for targeting.
Here's one. Remember the night you set the record for all-time tackles in a game in the CFL, like single-game tackles? It's 16 now, is it not? Was it 16?
Yep, 16.
And because we got a Bomber fan here. I remember that because we were getting killed.
We got a Bomber fan in the house.
We were getting killed. Yeah, Dave, what do you remember about Reggie Hunt? Tell us your Reggie Hunt stories.
Yeah, well, anybody wearing green, especially Reggie Hunt, he was an enemy in Madden. It was tough playing against him. Now, you can go back and you can watch the film and you can watch the games, the classics on demand, and he's the guy that you hated the most, but if he's on your team, he'd be the most popular player.
Right, and he
absolutely
was.
Absolutely, and he was. And it's great listening to the stories that now. It's fantastic.
What stands out for you most about your career in Regina?
T- to be honest with you, other than finally winning a Grey Cup, it's the battles with Winnipeg, man. The Labor Day Classics and the bowl afterwards.
Banjo Bowl.
Banjo Bowl. Yeah. Going back and forth with Winnipeg and, you know, jawing back and forth with those boys from Calgary who I hated so much and the boys from Edmonton who I hated so much and the BC Lions who I hated so much. So
I hated them too, Reaper. That's the thing. Now their feelings are all hurt. We all hated them. The hate's gone from the game. It's not as much fun anymore. But, Reggie, this
the hate's gone, man.
It's gone. And I don't know if we're going to get it back. No. They don't seem to want to get it back. But we have had a theme of our guests that have been through here, like Stevie Bags and who else? What I said, Kenton Keith. John Chick didn't leave on his own, but some of those guys left on their own for the money. And you went to Montreal, you cashed in, and these guys have come back and said, you know what, if I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't have left. I got to think, like they would have stayed here and finished their career here. Do you have the same sentiment?
Oh, yeah. Honestly, my first choice was always to stay with the Riders. No, I don't take nothing away from Montreal. I had a great time, great experience, and great teammates there. But I thought my heart always belonged to Saskatchewan. Never really wanted to leave. Those kind of things happen in the business. And, you know, we kind of mutually agreed to kind of move on from a contract talks. And, you know, things kind of happen after that. But, you know, I have no ill regards for anybody in the organization. And, yes, do I wish I'd played my whole career here? Absolutely. But it didn't happen that way. And I'm still fortunate for the years I got to play with them, for sure.
Of course. And you got into the Hall of Fame where you belong. Reaper, I could talk to you, I think, till midnight, but they're telling me that we got to get to a commercial here. Anything else for the Rider Nation before we let you go?
I need to visit one day. I need to visit one day soon. It's been too long, as you said. So that's my home away from home, and I tell people that all the time. So love my second home in Regina, Saskatchewan.
All right, Reaper, thanks for this. And when we're in Dallas, we'll be sure to look you up.
Please do.
All right, Reggie the Reaper Hunt joining us from Denison, Texas this morning. And I thought we were going to be going with the Rod Peterson Show inaugural sports trip to Dallas, and the Reaper would have been on that show. But we're going to be going to Houston, Texas, December 5th to the 10th. And you're invited to join us through Uniglobe Travel. Go to rodpeterson.com/trip. But Dave, it was long before you and I even knew each other, was that game in Winnipeg. You guys can take your headphones off if you want. That Reggie set that tackles record. And I mean, I called the game, and the Bombers were killing the Riders that night. Mm-hmm. Mike Sellers, and I can't remember who the quarterback was, probably KG. And Reggie gets his 16th tackle. He's on the sidelines. And the guys are like, we're getting killed. He's like, I don't care. I set the record. He knew as the game was going on how close he was.
Now, what was he playing? Outside linebacker?
He was playing Will linebacker. Yeah, and that was where he was, and he was a killer.
Intensity, like that's
yeah, he was a
that's
killer.
The thing. Like, and you know, I've been to Grey Cups and seen him like from a distance, not bumped up to talk to him. And he's always seemed like a class individual. And
oh
just,
yeah,
that just solidified what I always believed. But again, it was like I remember it was probably 1994. The World Cup of Hockey was in Vancouver, and at the time we still had the Winnipeg Jets playing. And when Theron Fleury came to town, you hated Theron Fleury. You absolutely hated him. But when I'm watching a World Cup of Canada game,
you're cheering for him.
Theron Fleury all of a sudden became my favorite hockey player. And Reggie, and I watched, you know, of course, when Reggie went to Montreal, like he didn't have that vested interest anymore. But man, oh man alive, that guy just played with such intensity. And yeah, what a class individual, too.
Hey, just before we break, number 45's coming up in the Facebook string and some good ones. Tom Pura, you're in Grand Prairie, right, Tom? I believe that's where he's watching the program this morning. He says, Mike Sellers actually wore number 45 too, ironically.
Big fullback for the Bombers.
Oh, and the Washington Redskins. That's I think right. He wore 45 of the skins too,
I
didn't he?
So, yeah,
he
did, what yeah. A great career he had.
Oh, very tough to tackle. That's what I remember of one Mike Sellers. Yeah. And so it is episode 45. So we're talking about number 45s. And people have written in Mike McCullough, of course. Randy Sraczynski, Casey Rogers, couple former Riders there.
Mike Jordan. Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan of the Chicago White Sox when he played baseball. We need to take a timeout. More on this Friday edition of the Rod Peterson Show. You're watching on Facebook Live. Listen live, rodpeterson.com. And on our podcast at CastBox, Stitcher, and Spotify.
building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Thank you, Rick Reagan. It is a Friday morning. Time for a sports update here on the Rod Peterson Show. It took 8 weeks, but every team in the CFL finally has a victory. McLeod Bethel-Thompson led the Argos to their first win of the season last night at BMO Field in comeback fashion. Bethel-Thompson hit S.J. Green for an 11-yard TD with 10 seconds to go, and Toronto rallied from a 20-0 deficit to beat the Winnipeg Blue Bombers 28-27. That's back-to-back losses for the Bombers. The Saskatchewan Rough Riders, of course, winner. Comeback fashion last night. They knocked off the Hamilton Tiger Cats here 24-19, courtesy of last-minute touchdown by one Cody Fajardo. And the Riders now off till next Friday when they visit Montreal. Speaking of, the Alouettes are feeling good as they prepare to host the Ottawa Redblacks tonight on Friday Night Football. The Alouettes are going for a fourth straight win after beginning the year 0-2. Montreal quarterback Vernon Adams Jr. will start despite opening day starter Antonio Pipkin returning to the active roster. He was injured in week one. That's 5:30 Mountain Time on TSN, 6:30 Central. James Johnson, the legend, swear word to you, Dave, the MVP of the 2007 Grey Cup. He's watching this morning, Coffee and Rod. Looking good, Hunt. Talking to the Reaper. James Johnson, that guy should be, they should have names, streets named after him here in this town.
Should have given the MVP to the guy that broke Kevin Glenn's arm that year.
Yeah, the week before.
That was a hit. Here we go.
Hey, James Johnson, you're next on the hit list. So get ready to come on this show, all right? I'm not done the sports update yet. The Blue Jays are on a rare win streak as they continue their four-game set in Baltimore against the O's. Vladdy Guerrero Jr. hit two of Toronto's five home runs last night to take the series opener 11-2. It was the Jays' season-high fourth straight win. The Yankees came up short trying to acquire pitching help at the trade deadline, and that's putting more pressure on Canadian James Paxton to shake off a rough stretch. The big lefty is 0-3 in his past six starts, including a loss at Fenway Park last week. Paxton faces the Red Sox again today in the opener of a four-game series. And Mackenzie Hughes of Dundas, Ontario, is just one shot back of the leaders after one round at the Wyndham Championship. Hughes opened with a 7-under 63 and is in a four-way tie for second in the final PGA Tour event before the FedEx Cup playoffs. And don't forget tonight, SaskTel Center in Saskatoon, the Saskatchewan Rattlers pro basketball team, home to the Fraser Valley Bandits. We'll be there with the Rod Peterson Show. DuPont will be calling the game. He'll be doing color on CEBL.TV. And we hope to see you there at SaskTel Center tonight. Let's pack the joint if we can. Ticats broadcaster Mike Morielli, Ticats great, is also the commissioner of the league. He was in the bunker yesterday. He'll be at SaskTel Center tonight. And I know he'll be signing autographs. Be happy to sign, take selfies with you and the like. And I can't tell you, James Johnson, how much it means to me that you would write in and be watching the show today, because that's what we're trying to create here, a good sports talk show in the morning that's been missing in this country. And I don't even know where James Johnson is. He's probably watching from the States. But it's perfect to have our football heroes on here. So Don Hewitt coming up in hour two of the program from CTV, and also Rider great Maurice Lloyd. I want to answer some questions here that have come in on the Facebook feed. It says, Roddy, what's your opinion on a double dip of Thursday night football? Well, it's not just me. I'll give mine, and I want these guys' thoughts. Personally, I love it. But not when the Riders were involved, and I'll tell you why. Last night, we're hosting the tailgate party for the Canadian Armed Forces, Royal Regina Rifles. I didn't see a single snap of the Winnipeg-Toronto game, and I would have liked to. Tried to find the highlights this morning. I couldn't find them on the TSN app. That's the only thing. If I was like Lynch, who you had a buddy over yesterday, a football buddy, you watched 6 hours of football, great!
Yep.
Fantastic!
And this guy was
like
with me.
Last week, I watched both games, Calgary at Ottawa and then Toronto at Edmonton. 6 hours of football, more. I love it. But wow. Sundays, they have 9 hours of straight football in the National Football League and nobody bitches or complains. So what do I think about Thursday night football? I love it unless I'm going to Mosaic Stadium and I got to miss one of the games. Otherwise, thumbs up. I think the ratings are going to show that. And I think the CFL's onto something with the concerts, and I just got to give Randy Ambrosi and his staff credit for trying something. We talked about that earlier. And the individual teams are, too. The Edmonton Eskimos were having concerts long before the rest of the league was. Salt and Peppa there. Flo Rida. They actually got Flo Rida to come to Commonwealth Stadium. Like, they've been working at it. BC Lions, same thing.
I can stop you there. Winnipeg Blue Bombers in the 80s had Gloria Estefan and the Miami Sound Machine at
outstanding
the games and things like that. But back to your point, though, the double dip. Why do you have two games going on at the same time? We talked about that yesterday.
That was a bad idea.
Yeah, and in Winnipeg, the TSN feed is TSN 3. They didn't have the Bomber game on. It was on 1, 4, and 5, but the Bomber game wasn't on 3. Which is upsetting to a lot of Bomber fans. I quite understand that. I mean, you could easily have done the game and then done a Vancouver game, like one out of Vancouver, and not have the overlapping schedule. We have 9 teams in the league. There's no reason that there's any game should be overlapping whatsoever, because you're gonna just dilute the fan base, because people will want to, like in Southern Ontario. Okay, it was an exciting game. It kept it. But what if it was a blowout? They would have switched over to watch Hamilton.
Yeah,
and the two games. The guy who's working can't get home to see the first game. So that's the problem with that one.
Well, in British Columbia, that being said, because it was a 5 o'clock start time here in Regina, so that means a 4 o'clock start time. They have to be cognizant of the facts. And if you want to grow the league to the East Coast when you're having the 9 o'clock Vancouver games, that's what, a midnight start?
They're not even watching
in Halifax,
but that's no different in the NFL. They're playing games in L.A., Seattle.
But there's not a midnight start for anybody to watch in the National Football League.
What are their kickoffs? Sorry. 7 o'clock on a Sunday night, our time. So it's still late. Yeah, fair enough. I don't know. The NFL and CFL are apples and oranges that way, I guess.
Well, my buddy.
But I'm not. Hang on. Dallas writes in on Facebook. He's Dallas Federchuk. He says, love the Thursday night doubleheaders. Michael Knight says, love Thursday night football. I love it, too. people generally are home, and if they're not home on a Thursday night, they're in the summer, they're at the lake, so you should be able to watch the games. And I think that they can't move away from it. I don't really know where the ratings are. I've heard the ratings aren't necessarily where they'd like them to be for Thursday night football, but you can't give up, I don't think, because I think it's a win. Now, you mentioned last night, David, that you'd like to see a Friday night football doubleheader. You're like, why are we playing one Friday, one Saturday? I think they got a winner here with a doubleheader one night and then spreading it through the weekend. Just stay away from Sundays.
I just think about there are still people working on Thursdays. And, you know, to have the games Friday, it's the kickoff of the weekend. You could have the 6 o'clock, the 5 o'clock start game here or, you know, in for the Ontario game and then do the British Columbia game or even an Edmonton or Regina game. Like last night, you could have started the Rough Rider Hamilton game at 8 o'clock. I mean, you're going to get 30,000 plus anyway. Why didn't do that? Why didn't they do that? Why have that
in
overlap?
The park?
Yeah,
I don't know, but Chris is writing in from Atlantic Canada this morning, and he says, "Don't forget, though, in Atlantic Canada, the second game started at 10:30 Atlantic time, 11 in Newfoundland, where he is working right now." Mm-hmm. So, again, I'm blown away at the reach of this program this morning. The people that we have
when
watching.
The Schooners come in. Like, are you going to watch when they're going to put the game on at a 7 o'clock start time in British Columbia? Anybody going to watch the Schooners if they're playing at home, an away game?
See, we watch right
here's
right
the third. Thing. Can I say this? Put out an entertaining product on the field and people are going to watch it. Doesn't matter what day it is and whether it's doubleheaders or not. And that's what the CFL's got right. The games have been good. And by the way, you talk about timing and the games. Have you ever looked at a map lately? Canada's like this. America's like this on a map. I don't know if you've noticed or not. This is going to be a challenge with the Schooners being in the league, but it's a good challenge. But there's going to be late start times out in Newfoundland. Well, sorry. No, if you don't like it.
If the Schooners go into British Columbia, why can't that be the Saturday afternoon game? You know what I mean? Yeah. They have to do a little bit better job. And I understand there's like some tight handcuffs because of TSN and TSN's other properties and other commitments, but they have to do a little bit better job if you want to. If you're at 10:30 and you're watching in Halifax and it's your team, how are you going to grow the audience from the young person's base that we've talked about? How creating that the kids want to watch that game.
They're in bed.
They're in bed. Yeah. You can stay up one or two nights a week till 2 o'clock in the morning watching football and hanging around with buddies and still kind of make it to work. Maybe not fully awake, but you're going to do it. But a kid's not going to do that.
Well, how about the people here that come from all over Saskatchewan on a Thursday night?
A great point, Lynch.
And got to drive home after.
If you want to go to the game, you're going to go to the game. And you're going to drive for 4 hours because you want to go. If you want to watch the game on TV, you're going to watch the game on TV. And you're going to adjust your schedule to watch the game on TV.
It was a perfect setup yesterday. Tom Cochran played before the game. So you could have had that 8 o'clock start date. And the people wouldn't have complained because that's that full day of entertainment. They could have watched April Wine at the end. You know, that would have been like the
kicker. Because Tom Cochran had to go to bed.
Yeah, maybe. But
life is a highway.
Yeah.
Conan from Calgary says 4 games a week, no NFL competition at this point. Ridiculous to put half your games on Thursday. See, that's the thing. I gave my 2 cents. You guys gave yours. Everybody's got a different opinion. And I try as much as I can to watch all 4 games every week in the CFL. And so I'm gonna watch them no matter what. But yeah. PVRing doesn't work. Going back and watching a PVR game is like reading yesterday's newspaper. Yeah, hey. They're telling me to wrap up here for hour one, which has been outstanding. Who am I saying goodbye to here? And is Dave taken off? Yeah. So, David.
I guess so.
It was a pleasure walking the midway with you last night.
It was.
I apologize for the things you had to see, but I would suggest the midway in Winnipeg's no different.
No, it's not at all. It's just that the crowd, that the element that it attracts.
Here's the weirdest thing, though, of many weird things on the midway last night. Trust me, at Buffalo Days. We're walking down the midway. You stepped on something.
Oh, I know.
I heard this pop, and it sounded like a gunshot.
It did.
And all of a sudden, boom, my leg is splattered with something. It looked like blood. It was like you stepped on like a bag of purple dye. And it shot all down my leg, which I didn't think anything of until I was driving in Big Bird up here with Lynch this morning. I've got the same shorts on. So I have this purple dye on my leg. What the hell would have been...
And I didn't see it.
It's on my shorts. I did shower this morning, believe it or not. That part's gone. But what did you... And then you felt so bad. You didn't even see it.
It looked terrible. It had goop all over you.
It looked like I'd been shot in the leg on the midway. Well, and by the way, who would have been surprised if that had happened?
And probably, John and Rod, you remember this. Before juice boxes, you remember kids' drinks used to come in that little bag, yeah, and you got the little pokey straw, and it was looked like a little itty-bitty pillow of yellow goop?
Yeah.
This is almost like what I stepped on. I didn't think they did those things anymore. It was some sort of, maybe it was a half a drink with a lid on it or something, but we didn't stick around because we didn't know what it
looked
was.
Like one of those tags on something you bought at Eaton's. That if you steal, you know, if you steal it and you try and bust it, boom, die all over. That's what it was like. So maybe somebody had some shoplifted merchandise and dropped it on the Midway.
At Buffalo Days, is that the element there like that?
So I had pizza, yep, as did you.
Yes.
Corn dog.
Very good.
As did you. How was your morning? Were you okay after that?
Well, it was actually about midnight last night. The stomach was rolling.
Right.
It was.
Bubble guts, I like to call it. Is that thunder? No.
Yeah. Well, I pounded out a bunch of hot wings and some onion rings and some dry ribs.
Ballers.
And some fries and things like that. Nachos and stuff. So it wasn't like...
The good stuff.
Yeah. It was interesting morning.
I'll be going back throughout the weekend for fudge, and we'll see what else. But David, safe travels back to Winnipeg. And thanks. Calm them down over there, please.
Oh, it's... I know.
And tell your friends about the show, if you don't mind.
I think I will.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Hour two coming up, the ageless Don Hewitt of CTV will be joining us in the bunker. Also, Maurice Lloyd, writer great on video chat. We're having a great time on a Friday morning. This is the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com. And catching our podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Employee pricing is back. These are all pre-owned vehicles. They all have an employee price. You pay what we pay.
Check out this loaded GM-certified pre-owned 2018 Chevy Equinox. It's employee priced at just $22,998 plus tax. Or get into a GM-certified pre-owned fully loaded Cadillac CTS Luxury. It's employee priced at just $35,915 plus tax.
Employee pricing at Capital GMC.
You pay what we pay!
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
One of the things that I'm also running into lately is people who have been declined for marijuana use in the past.
Brian Baker with youareinsurable.ca.
Insurers will decline you for more than just your health. They'll decline you for your lifestyle. And in the past, any type of marijuana use over 2 grams a week is going to send red flags up to traditional insurers, because for those people who are suffering from chronic pain, other illnesses such as Crohn's colitis or depression for that matter, that have used marijuana as a treatment, they're probably using more than a couple of grams a week. Now we have legalized marijuana in the country, but don't expect the traditional insurers to have made that change to their underwriting policy. But I do have an insurer that will take care of the client.
If you've been declined due to cannabis, you are still insurable. Don't wait. Talk to Brian today. Brian specializes in finding critical illness, life, and disability insurance for hard-to-insure people just like you. Book your no-cost, confidential, risk-free consultation at youareinsurable.ca.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.